It's the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN. Johnny Jett is a familiar voice to the airwaves of WGN Radio. He's been on many shows with us over the years, and he joins us right now to talk about the airfare wars that are or are not coming. Johnny, are we expecting any airfare wars this year? How are you, buddy?
Good. I'm doing well. You know what? You can always expect airfare deals. I don't know about wars, but you just got to be flexible, and you got to sign up to all the different newsletters that people have, not just the airlines, but as well as third parties, and that's when you're going to find out when they're going on, because they don't last long, some of them, these deals.
So I saw a story this week that CheapAir.com does some annual airfare study and was talking about the best and worst times to buy tickets. They said that the lowest fare for any given flight changes an average of 71 times between the time it's announced and the day the plane takes off. So it changes on average every four to five days, and each change can average up to $33 up or $33 down. Now, from the time a flight is announced till the time it flies, that's generally almost a year, isn't it? Can't you buy up to a year in advance?
It's 330 days.
Okay.
So, so you know what? You don't want to ever buy a ticket too early.
Really?
Except if you're using your miles, you can try and, right when they load it, 330 days, you can try then, but you know what? Most of the time, even then, they have it blocked, and they don't release the fares, especially the mileage fares, to the last minute. But regular tickets, you know, the sweet spot, it all depends on the destination. But, you know, I would always set in the fare alert. Always set a fare alert, the routes you want to take, the dates, the price you want to pay, and they will, and the different companies will email you and let you know. But, you know, I usually don't buy tickets until about 3 weeks before a trip.
3 weeks before, you think it's so. It's funny, Johnny. I'd never heard that you can buy too early. So if you buy too early, the price might go down at a later time, not too close to the flight, but there's a sweet spot somewhere in there.
Right. Usually 21 days and, you know, before the flight, that's when they really start raising the prices because they know people need to go. Especially, they're always targeting business travelers because business travelers tend to find out the last minute they're traveling. So that's why they jack the prices up for them.
So is
that for. For travelers, you know, again, I would start pricing it out, you know, right when they release them, and you can set the fare alert. It's free, or just keep checking the fares and find out if it's a good deal or not. You can get you should know before if it's what's a good deal or not.
The fare alert, is that just like through Expedia or Hotwire, someplace you buy tickets, or can you do that also through United and American? And
No. So the big ones are Google. So Google fare alerts, also YAPTA, YAPTA, and Kayak. And those are the main three, and they will. I have it on my website, 17 ways to find cheap tickets, and that is one of them. It has links to them all because you kind of have to dig down to find the actual URL.
And then, do you recommend, Johnny, buying from one of those sites, or is it always, you know, the airlines always claim the cheapest place to buy is from them themselves? Is that true?
You know what? What I do is I price it out. I use every different website out there to try and find the lowest price. And then whatever the airline is, I go to that airline's website directly. And if it's the same price, I'll go directly through the airline. If it's not, I will go through that third party. But yeah, I tend to go through directly because if you need to cancel or change, it's much better to go directly. And same thing with hotels. You know, hotels now. You know, no one wants to pay third-party fees, so that's why they're offering you free Wi-Fi if you book directly with them and different perks like that.
Interesting. All right, so let's talk for a second about, again, the fares. You talked about how, you know, when it's last minute and they know business travelers got to go so they can afford to charge them those prices, they got to pay them. Do airlines ever bring down a price on a last-minute flight? If a flight from Chicago to Denver today has 55 seats available 4 hours before, are they going to bring the price down, or are they going to assume, no, if you're deciding right now, that means you have to get there, so we're going to keep the price jacked up?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer because airlines, you can't really figure them out. Sometimes they do. I've purchased last-minute tickets, you know, for $49 from New York to Florida, same day. But there's other times when it's usually really high. So I can't give you a definitive answer. You just have to keep pricing them out. But usually towards the very last minute, they stay high because they don't want people to wait to the last minute. Because if they keep doing it, then people will never buy an advance.
Yeah,
and so
that's a good point.
So it's better off you buy in advance.
I know
don't,
that.
Don't take the chance.
I know.
Although, except with miles, by the way. Again, using your miles last minute, that's when they usually open up.
Really? Now, why in the world is that?
Because they want to make as much money as they possibly can, and they do not like giving free tickets out, even though the airline makes so much money from miles and points. So, you know, usually a few days before, that's when they start thinking, okay, you know what, we're not going to be able to sell these tickets. We might as well at least offer them to the frequent flyers because, you know, we don't want them to think that we're total jerks, although we do.
Well, then they can get you to burn some of those miles, right? I mean, that plane's flying anyways. Empty seats make no sense. At least if I'm burning up some miles, I might buy a snack on the plane or buy the internet or whatever. And or bag fees, right? So there's something to be said for at least getting a couple people on the flight and getting them to burn 25,000 miles that they might be using.
These days, it's not even 25,000. They're charging even more. And also, if you book most airlines, if you book your miles within 21 days of your flight, they charge you a $75 fee. So they're getting you anyway.
They are. That's for sure. And it's. Are the airlines making more money than ever? They, you know, the gas, the oil's been pretty cheap, and the bag fees and everything else they're jacking up on you. I would think they're doing rather well right now.
They've never made more money in the last few years. So these are their golden years, and I think the price of oil is starting to go up. So, but they're making so much money, and they're just trying to figure out any way they can squeeze the money out of people and make more. It's kind of frustrating as a consumer.
Well, as a consumer, so I only fly for business about 4 or 5 times a year, but we have to bring equipment with us because we go videotape things and record things. So we always each have 2 bags. So I buy the United baggage. United offers a baggage subscription, and you could do you and one person traveling with you, 2 bags each flight. Now, 2 bags each flight is
$60
like,
round trip.
Well, no, it's $60 each way, isn't it? The first bag isn't
free
on United.
Correct. Sorry, $25 for the first bag and $35
for the second bag.
Yeah, 120 round trip is what I meant to say.
So 120 round trip, if there's two of us, that's $240 for one trip. As long as you're taking 2 trips, it pretty much pays for itself because I think you and a companion's only like $4.99 or $5.99 for the year. Are there a lot of little ways? So when I travel 5 times, I'm absolutely making my money back on that, or at least, you know, paying less than I would have had to if I'm paying it straight up front.
Right.
Would you recommend things like that, or are you more, nope, just ship everything? It's going to be easier and safer to make sure you have it.
Again, it depends on your travel habits. So one way to go around that is get the airline's credit card, because they usually offer you at least one check bag for free. So you got to find out what they're offering, but that is one way to go around it. Also, it's also a way to board early. And also, if you buy one of their low-fare fares now, because they're now trying to match Spirit and Frontier, and they have these like really low economy fares where you can't even bring a carry-on on, so you have to make sure you're buying the right fare code. That is one way to avoid that, but is by getting their credit card. Also, you know, there are different ways you can do it. You can ship your bag if you don't have a lot and you're traveling domestically. You can go right to FedEx or UPS. And you don't even need a box. Just put your suitcase right on their scale, and they'll ship it that way. I've done it before, and it saves time because you don't need to wait around. And also money, usually, because you can jump on a subway or a train a lot easier, or a bus, instead of lugging all this luggage.
Yeah. How light does your bag need to be for it to be cost-effective to spend with a UPS or a FedEx or somebody like that versus the $25 fee for a first-check bag?
You know, that's a very good question. And I'm not entirely sure, but I would think around 30 pounds, but I would have to double check on that.
Yeah.
But again, you know, and if you are shipping your bag, make sure that if you're shipping it to a hotel, that they don't charge a receiving fee, because now hotels have caught wind of this and they're like, well, we need to make money. We're just not going to hold their bag. So they charge by the pound, some of them.
Oh my gosh.
So find out if you're shipping it to a hotel, what they charge as well.
Do you think that the airlines will ever reverse themselves a little bit on this, because we're getting gouged for more and more and more on every flight, right? And it seems like it's not, unless there's more competition, and there seems to be less competition than ever, I don't know how that's going to turn around.
Yeah, it's not going to happen unless there is more competition or the economy just takes a huge plummet. You can expect other ways trying to figure out how to make money.
Yeah. And how is Southwest Airlines doing in all this? Because they don't participate. They don't charge the bags. You got to buy the tickets directly through Southwest.
Correct.
They made a lot over a lot of years on really good, they said, oil contracts. So their fuel costs were less than other airlines, and that helped them. Are they going to be able to keep surviving by doing all these things that the other airlines aren't? Or eventually are they going to say there's too much money out there that we're giving up on?
Well, you know, that's always the question with their board members, but every year they say we're not going to charge for baggage fees. And, you know, I think if they started charging for checked bags, they would lose a lot of customers. And right now they gain so many customers because they allow two free checked bags. So I don't see it happening any time in the future, but I wouldn't completely rule it out.
Do they save a lot of money by making you buy your tickets only through Southwest.com?
For sure, because all these other agencies – all these other airlines have to pay the third parties money. But you can't get your tickets anywhere else but Southwest.com. So that's why, and that's what all the airlines wish they could do.
Yeah.
And all the hotels, especially, because they pay a good percentage, especially hotels. Hotels pay even more. So that's why they're all trying to get you to go directly to them, because that way they don't have to pay these guys, and that's why they're trying to entice you by giving you free Wi-Fi instead of charging you $16 a night for it.
Yeah.
All right, and other perks.
Let's talk just for a minute again about frequent flyers, because you brought that up, and how and when to use the miles. What's the best way to try to use mileage? I build up some United miles now through the credit card and through travel, and they try to get you to spend them a lot of different ways. They'll offer like little booklets with gifts you can get, and I always wonder, okay, what's the best use for these? Should I save up for a big family trip to Europe someday and hope we can get enough miles to actually get there, or is it better off to buy little things through their booklets, TVs, or little electronics, things like that? What's the best use of those miles you build up?
Yeah, do not use your miles to buy gifts from their catalog or anything like that. So the best value of your miles is usually business class or first class tickets and international, long haul, or save them for last minute travel. God forbid, you know, there's a death in the family or something, you need to get somewhere quick. You can just use your miles that way. But do not use them for gifts or anything like that. Again, I like to use them to treat my loved ones, you know, first class or business class internationally. I mean, that was the best trip I ever taken in my life. My mom was sick with cancer, and I cashed in 100,000 miles each. We flew first class to Europe, and she'd never been, and it was just amazing experience. And your miles do not gain value sitting in your accounts. It's not like a bank account where you get interest. You lose interest on your miles because they're always getting devalued.
Right, because they're going to raise. Because right now you probably couldn't go first class to Europe with 100,000 miles on any airline, could you?
Actually, I tried to buy a ticket yesterday for my dad to go from New York to L.A., and usually in the past you'd be able to get them for $12,500 for a one-way ticket, coach.
Right.
The other day, now they're charging $20,000 to $30,000 one way. Business class was always $25,000 one way. Now they want $85,000.
Wow.
And to Australia, I see them even charging $130,000 for coach.
Holy cow.
It's ridiculous. So I'm like kicking myself, because back then you could have, if I cashed them all in, we could have all gone first class. So
yeah.
they're getting crazier and crazier. I just flew yesterday from New York to L.A., and I was sitting next to a woman. I got upgraded. She used her business class miles. She said, I asked her how much she used. She goes, $125,000 for business class, round trip.
Oh,
I go, that's ridiculous. You got ripped off. She goes, I know, but I didn't want to spend $10,000.
Is that what the ticket would have cost, business class?
No, it would have been like, it depends when you buy it. Some, you know, and the times you fly, if you fly off-peak when business travelers aren't flying, you can sometimes get them for $600 each way, thanks to JetBlue, because they introduced their Mint service, which is lie-flat service, too. So all the other airlines had to lower their prices.
It's so interesting because, you know, I also bought, because we fly a number of times a year, and we fly United, and if you're in economy, you can't open up a laptop and work very well. It's very hard with the pitch of the seats.
Without a doubt.
So I bought the subscription to Economy Plus.
And how much was that?
For two people, it's like $600, I think. For me and a guest on every ticket, I can upgrade to Economy Plus for free.
Okay.
And so if I fly about 5-6 times a year, I feel like it pays itself off. But even on any flight that I buy in United, there's always this opportunity to upgrade at a later time for 60, 70, maybe $125 if you want to get in a first class. But it seems like it would be silly to buy that ticket a $10,000 business class ticket if you can be an economy plus. I know that New York to LA is a long flight, but
right.
it seems crazy to spend thousands to have a lie-flat seat for a five-hour flight. Economy plus, I feel like, is still a really good place to be. I feel comfortable there. I can move my legs. I can get up.
Because they give you 5 extra inches of leg room.
That five extra inches is the world.
It's a big deal. But I mean, that used to be the norm, you know, 10 years ago.
That's a crazy
and then they
thing.
Started cramping people in, and now. But yeah, it all depends on the routes. But the airlines used to give those. You know, first class used to be so expensive that you know only a few business travelers were taking it, and then they'd give the rest to their frequent flyers. But now the airlines are like, let's just make a little bit of money, so let's start lowering the price of the first class tickets. Or offering last-minute upgrades for cheap, and so you have to roll the dice and see if you can get it. You're not going to get it during peak business hours, but if you're traveling off-peak, there's a good chance you can get business class or first class for cheap.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Johnny Jet, you can follow him at johnnyjet.com. 3 different newsletters. Tell me about the newsletters that you offer at johnnyjet.com.
So I have a weekly newsletter that I've been doing since 1995. It just has everything: a website of the week. Travel deals, you know, you name it, webcams, all kinds of fun stuff. Also stories where I go for the week. And then I have a travel deals newsletter. So whenever I see really good deals, I'll just send out a newsletter. Also, I have a daily travel tip. So 5 days a week, I send it. And you can always learn tips and tricks. And you can always send me yours, too. And we'll do a reader travel tip of the week as well on Fridays.
You can also find booking tools and information about credit cards, hotels. It's not just airplanes. JohnnyJet.com,
sure.
Our buddy Johnny Jet. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Matt Bubala Show on 720 WGN.